AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Man, wow, man, freaked out. For shame.
That's the truth.
Why?
We don't care about nobody except this you.
A bunch of things must have gone wrong if you're listening to this.
They were all basically alcoholics.
Your husband keeps lousy company, Mrs. Sampson. As bad as there is in L.A., and that's as bad as there is.
Surely, there is a limit to hypocrisy.
Young and I, Vic, Petros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's almost a super flex. We have got but one more segment to go. This segment takes us really in the only spot where we would normally be broadcasting, 3 o'clock hour. We're just going to 3:30. Tim Cate's going to take over with Dodgers on deck as we got back-to-back early games this week against the St. Louis Cardinals after yesterday's Labor Day victory. We got 440, 440 back-to-back here today and tomorrow. So big flexes for the Petros and Money Show.
Yes, but you can always podcast on the iHeartRadio app for your smartphone. And if you miss us in the afternoon because the Dodgers are taking on the Cardinals, first pitch is not too far away, 4:45, like Matt said.
Warriors.
You can always just podcast the show. But right now, it's time for the Final Hour Fun Fact.
It's fun in effect. It's the Hour 3.
Fun Facts! Fun Facts!
Well, coming off of Labor Day, a work-related fun fact. In Japan, the average work week, here in America, the average work week is between 39 and 58 hours. In Japan, the average work week is 60 to 70 hours. Many Japanese, so many as a matter of fact, drop dead at work that it has earned its own word, karoshi. And I don't know if that's like defined as he who drops dead at work, he who has worked too hard. But on average, every year, over 10,000 Japanese suffer from karoshi.
Wow. For let's call it the top story of the day. We'll do that.
Top story of the day.
We have dead and alive and then City of Hope.
Well, real quick, P, there is nothing better than my hypocrisy or my bold proclamation quickly being turned on its head immediately. And certainly it could be flipped time and time again, like a flapjack, staying warm on each side. But for now, after declaring that the Dodger fans had nothing to worry about, were they to lose a series to the Giants?
Well, that was your whole
nothing
thing.
Nothing to worry about. He did not have it. Three innings. He allowed 6 earned runs in the month of July. He allowed 7 earned runs in the month of August. And that was with 6 starts.
So you think he's just going to go straight to the toilet, Matt? Is that what you're trying to say?
Now, here's what I'm saying. We have asked David, and I have asked it at least 100 different ways. With all of the talent they have on this pitching staff, Julio Urias, who many thought was the MVP of the World Series for what he did as a long man, as a closer, as a do-everything pitcher for whatever situation he was needed and called upon by Dave Roberts. Many people think Max Scherzer, because he is a multiple-time Cy Young Award winner, a World Series champion, ought to be the ace of this team. And then many people point to Walker Buehler as, and this is where David Vasse comes into play.
A lot of Buehler pushback. A lot of Buehler pushback.
Right? They say, look, Buehler is going to win the Cy Young this year, and Buehler is the best pitcher, bar none, on the Dodgers. As great as and accomplished as Kershaw and Scherzer and recently, specifically the World Series of 2020, Urias are,
and they say it's been that way for a while. It's been that way for a while. That's what they say.
And then you see what happens on Sunday.
Well, I mean, you know, Matt, it does happen. I mean, we've seen it happen to Kershaw. We've seen it happen.
And again, not saying that that's going to happen to Walker Buehler. He's got a much larger sample size of him absolutely dominating the competition, which is why he's going to be the Cy Young winner this year than the anomaly that was Sunday. But as they are now a game behind the Giants and this NL West race even though some thought it was going to be a runaway for the Dodgers come mid-August and the Giants would be, I guess, harkened back to reality.
Say my name if you're going to talk about me. Say my name.
As Ned said specifically, that he did not buy the Giants.
Not even going to be close.
It was a harsh reminder that if, in fact, they find themselves in a one-game playoff, despite having the most dominant pitcher in the National League and perhaps in baseball, anything can happen.
Well, truly, Matt, it was a great reminder of how perilous life in the NL West can be, was it not?
The middle of that game, which was a bullpen game for the Giants, the Dodgers faced a pitcher with a 4.58 ERA, a 6.22 ERA, a 5.79 ERA, and a 3.99 ERA. And they got two hits over those five innings. And that's the harsh reminder and the sad reality of what a one-game playoff could present. Even if odds are stacked so heavily in your favor with a lineup that starts with Trey Turner and goes to Mookie Betts and Justin Turner and Max Muncy and Corey Seager. I mean, the first five, Turner, Muncy, Betts, Turner, Seager. As good a first five, and again, against
on
those
paper.
Four pitchers.
On paper.
On paper. But alas.
Alas.
The games are not played on paper. And of course, P, it gets even worse for me.
What happened now?
Well, remember, I also share, just to put a button on this, the remaining schedules of the Reds and the Padres and the idea that they would have to snell that snell on the wild card, and right. That was not likely.
That the Dodgers won't have to snell that snell, and even if they did have to just not snell the snell but take on the Reds, there's no guarantee, like you said, Matt, there's no guarantee about anything. I mean, we could all
teams.
Be blown off the face of the earth.
Well, there's exactly that, too. That's the old Aaron Rodgers method. Hey, we could all be blown off this earth. I don't know where I'm playing next year. The Padres, meanwhile, took 2-3 from the Astros over the weekend, one of the best teams in baseball, while the Reds went up against two of the worst teams in baseball and lost 3-4 to the Detroit Tigers and Chicago Cubs yesterday. So, again, harsh reminder for me, the games are not played on paper.
Hey, look, I thought Washington was going to beat Montana like an idiot, you know? Who am I?
I mean, what an idiot you are.
I mean, I think if people podcast Friday, what I'm trying to say is it's a lot of misinformation on this show.
Don't
worry about the Dodgers. Don't worry about the Padres, all of those things.
11 of the teams in the Pac-12 should be penning a letter with a nice gift card to the UCLA Bruins for being the headline out of the Pac-12 this week, as opposed to what happened to the rest of the conference.
Cal just lost their identity one quarter into the game and just couldn't recognize themselves in the mirror. Washington State is good to lose their opener every single year and then win the next 10, so I don't care about that. The Beavs and Purdue was a great game that went back and forth, a lot of effort there.
Mm-hmm. USC, looked like absolute trash for about three quarters of that football game.
Not if you just look at the score. You feel great
about
it.
That's the problem. Right. Everybody feels good about the score. And it's like, yeah, that...
I got Alex Fausted, my play-by-play partner. I was like, yeah, USC probably just looks exactly the same as they always have in this Clay Helton air raid era. And Alex is like, so what? You sleepwalk against San Jose. I was like, well, it's a pick six, a 14-point turnaround, and San Jose State's quarterback literally did not look like himself at all, couldn't hit anything. And I saw a couple quarterbacks like that. Just a lot of misinformation.
Certainly. That's what this show's good for.
Oh,
misinformation. Sure. Don't worry about the playoff. No, worry about the playoff. The Padres are going to wilt and the Reds are going to run away with this. Yeah, that also took a bit of a hit this weekend. So my apologies.
Beating out Buddy Holly for your dead guy birthday of the day is Australian News.
Pip, and this is Petros and Money's Australian News.
CJ Dennis, Matt, 145 years old today. Clarence James Stanislaus Dennis from Auburn, South Australia.
All right.
Let's get the chats. Son of a hotel owner. He, along with his literary group, Henry Lawson and Banjo Peterson. Banjo wrote Waltzing Matilda. pretty famous Australian song. They all met in the world of clerking, which is an exciting world. And those three guys are the guys that popularized in the world. And it's a big deal here on the show. Australian slang, Matt.
Crocky.
Exactly. He published poems. Dennis and his boys popularized that slang.
Crocky.
It's called Larkin, Australian English. And that's why they called Dennis the laureate of Larkin. Do we have anything else other than crikey, Matt?
Put another shrimp on the barbie.
We got that one. Very good. We got Smoko.
I'm on Smoko.
I'm on Smoko, so leave me alone. Do you know what a saloon car is in Australia?
No.
A sedan.
Oh, really?
I drove up in a saloon car.
So, what kind of car did you buy?
Hey, a saloon car. A popsicle is an ice pole.
Oh, yeah.
Three ice poles for me and my blokes.
Well, and I guess we know that Foster's is Australian for beer, Foster's.
If something's, like, stylish, it's cracker. Oh, that's a cracker shirt, Tim Kite's Black Rifle Coffee. You know what a...
I guess g'day is g'day his?
Yeah, hello. Yeah, hi. You know what a cupcake is? A fairy cake.
Give me one of them cookies and cream fairy cakes.
Dennis's best-selling novel was The Songs of a Sentimental Bloke.
That's great.
He edited the Adelaide newspaper for a long time, The Critic. There is a bust built of him outside the random Australian town of Lara. Population, 570. CJ Dennis. Australian slang, everybody. Fairy cakes for me and my blokes.
Oh, I remember one now. Root. I heard it on the cruise. Them Aussies that got into the argument with those two American guys. Yeah, root.
Yeah, for sex.
You're a live guy.
Hey, you know what? And Hungry Jack's.
Oh, Hungry Jack's.
Is
right?
Burger Jack's.
Christine Ellen Hine, one of the best. Chrissy Hine, Hit It Kates, one of my older brother's favorite bands. He played the Pretenders endlessly. Born in Akron, raised in Akron. Said her high school experience was trash. She wasn't into it.
So never trash, I'm dance. Leaving the country.
Yes. Never had a boyfriend, no football game. She was into music. Went to Kent State. Actually met Mark Mothersbaugh there of Devo, and they started a band, Sat Sun Matt. But never took off. She sadly was in the middle of the Kent State massacre. One of her friends was among the four that were killed. She moved to London, got a gig when she met journalist Nick Kent at NME, the famous music rag over there. He got her a gig, and she connected with the Sex Pistols, was about to get the boot from London for not having a work visa. Johnny Rotten offered to marry her. Sid Vicious offered to marry her so she could stick around. And she and Vicious actually went to get the license, and the registry office was closed for an extended holiday.
Good. She never went stabbed.
Back. Right? Probably would not have ended as well for Chrissy. So she had to go back to Cleveland. In 1975, was miserable, ended back in London, where she started a group with Mick Jones. That didn't stick as he joined the Clash. Her friend Malcolm McLaren, of Sex Pistols fame, put her in Masters of the Backside as a guitarist. But they kicked her out right before they became the Damned. So a lot of bad luck, but she stuck at it.
She went back to Ohio, and her family was gone.
And my city was gone. In 1978, she met bassist Pete Farndon, Jimmy Scott, and Marty Chambers. Pretenders were born, named after the Sam Cooke cover of the Platter song, The Great Pretender. Their first single, Kid, charted. Follow-up, this one, Brass in Pocket, number one. Self-titled debut released in 80. It was a monster in the UK, the US, hailed as a masterpiece critically, sold millions of records commercially, still considered one of the best debut albums of all time. Success, not good for the Pretenders. They kicked Pete Farndon out because he couldn't lay off the drugs. He would die shortly thereafter from an OD.
He was pretending to be sober.
Oh! 2 days after they kicked Pete out, Jimmy Honeyman Scott died of an overdose.
Ah! Also pretending to be sober.
Half of the Pretenders were gone. Chrissy and drummer Marty were the only ones left. So they had to put together a kind of session group.
She had Ray Davies to do all the recruiting for her, though, you know.
Well, Davies recruited something from her.
She gave it up to Davies pretty good.
Bastard kid between those two. Back on the chain gang with Billy Bremner and Tony Butler. B-side to that track, My City Was Gone. So, I mean, she could freaking write hits. Another hit, Learning to Crawl in 84, 85. They played Live Aid. Hyde, apparently, bit of a nightmare.
They made great music, though, and a lot of music sucked.
They really did. She booted Marty Chambers, saying he wasn't playing well enough, so Foster quit because he was pissed off that she was so freaking dictatorial. But they, again, kept putting out great music.
That's
Don't get
David
me wrong,
said.
My
he said
baby.
She was dictatorial.
It's
because she has the Mark Davis haircut. That's why she's so disagreeable. She's got a Raiders mentality.
It is a very disagreeable haircut. I think that's a perfect way to describe it. I'll Stand By You was another hit in 94. Just put out a record last year.
Won't anyone hurt you?
As a matter of fact, again, Bastard Kid with Ray Davies. She married Jim Kerr of Simple Minds, daughter, legitimate. Divorced him, married some Colombian artist, divorced him as well. Happy 70th, Chrissy Hynde.
Let's go.
City of Hope, that's a pregame. City of Hope, physicians and researchers are relentlessly working together to turn powerful science into life-saving new cancer treatments. Learn more at cityofhope.org.
The Dodgers come in 87-51. Still a game back in the NL West with 24 to go.
Going to be a hell of a night, and we'll be flexed back tomorrow again to 1 o'clock on We Just Won't Be Defeated Wednesday. Enjoy your afternoon, everybody. Tim Cates is coming up next.
When you want Dodgers, the only home is AM 570 LA Sports.
All right, helping Ford, keeping it going. Even though Labor Day weekend has passed, you still got great deals like Ford Explorer. How about $5,000 off MSRP right now?